This morning I'd like to continue with the theme, God's Volunteers. That's supposed to represent a wall in Susa. So just kind of imagine that you're in the palace of Susa. Now that was the place where Esther was. I did a little more research on this than actually I knew before. But I was thinking that Nehemiah was after Esther, that this took place during the Babylonian captivity. And I believe I'm mistaken on that. I believe it was after the Babylonian captivity. Some believe that that may be why the name of God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. Kind of interesting. Perhaps because, as some believe, the Jews who were obedient went back, but many stayed. We know that even to this day there are Jews living in that area. But we're going to look at Esther this morning. I'm not just trying to give equal time to the women and the challenges that there are in the Word of God to women in particular. There are many great examples of women. I want to look at least with one more woman. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at Nehemiah. That's actually going back in the Bible. But I've come to believe that Nehemiah probably and Esther probably were contemporaries. So I don't know that it matters which one we look at first. But we're going to look at Esther this morning, one of God's volunteers, and try to see some lessons here that we can apply to our own lives. Now, if you were in the military, as I was, you kind of learned not to volunteer for things. It was kind of another word for stupid. I mean, anyone who volunteered for anything has to have something missing up there. But I've had to unlearn that. I've had to gone back to, of course, the Bible. I was raised in a Christian home, but I wasn't a Christian when I was in the Navy, at least for the first part of my Navy time. I was in for just 4 years. But God has impressed upon me how important it is to volunteer, to say, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah said that. I'm not sure we'll look at Isaiah, but certainly one of the great volunteers of the Bible. I suppose we ought to, so we might. But we're looking this morning at Esther. I want us to try to find lessons here that we can apply to our own lives about volunteering for God's call. So what are some lessons? Now, just kind of fill us in case you're unfamiliar with the story of Esther, Ahasuerus was the king. He's also called Xerxes. And it would seem that these are the two names for the same person. He was the son of Darius, or Darius. You may remember him. It was probably in the late, that would be the late 5th century, I believe, B.C., about 480 maybe. The captivity lasted from approximately, the Babylonian captivity lasted from approximately 586 B.C. to about, well, the early 6th century, about 70 years. So it was in that time frame, apparently, immediately after the Babylonian captivity, when all of this happened. And a king, a queen was deposed. You probably know that. And there was this search made for a replacement for the queen. The queen's name was Vashti. And you can read all of that in the book. I would encourage you to read that little book of Esther today, because I think there are lessons there for us about this subject of volunteering, what it means to volunteer. Now, we have a process underway of electing persons to serve in various leadership capacities in our church, but you don't have to be elected to volunteer. There are many things, I believe, many of those that were God's choicest people who God used in such a wonderful way that were never elected to anything. They just did what God called them to do. And so I want to encourage us, I want to challenge us to answer that call of God and to volunteer, to say, here am I, send me. But what are some lessons here from Esther? Well, first of all, I believe there's the lesson of a passivity to forsake. I know that's kind of a big word, passivity. It just means to be passive. I think it's part of our culture today to kind of just be, you know, lackadaisical, laid back, kind of not to try to get excited about anything. I mean, that's kind of what people do to embarrass themselves, we would say. So I think we're all kind of conditioned to think that it's good to be passive, kind of middle of the road. Don't rock the boat. Just kind of keep things the way they are. Not make any bold moves in life, because that can lead to, often it can lead to conflict. It can lead to danger even. I think there was this tendency in Esther, perhaps pride. She came from the tribe of Benjamin. You may know that. One of the elite tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. She had been chosen to be the replacement for the queen of arguably the greatest nation on earth, the one superpower on earth. And there must have been this tendency to think, well, I've arrived. I'm where I should be, and I'm content to be where I am. And I think it can lead to pride, this kind of complacency that I think we all must deal with in our lives. Do we want to stay where we are, or do we want to be more used of God? More, not just used of God, but more beneficial to those that God has placed us around and sent us to be influences for good and for God, for righteousness. There's also a pull downward, passivity. Just think about it. Think about a plane in the air that becomes passive. I mean, doesn't take much imagination to know what's going to happen there. Or a car on the highway that suddenly becomes passive and just kind of stops there in the middle. Well, you know, I don't want to know whether I want to go this way or that way. Well, you know, it's dangerous to be in that situation. But it's, I think, again, the really what our world's way of thinking wants to do to us, to make us passive, to make us kind of sit on the fence, you know, and kind of teeter between the two decisions that we know, you know, we know which way is right, but sometimes it's not easy to do that. I don't know that it's ever easy to do what is right. So here was the moment of decision in this life of Esther. Great lessons here, not just for women, but for all of us. There's the lesson too of peril. Again, when that passivity happens, you know, we may think that passive means, you know, we're just going to stay where we are. Things are going to stay the same in our lives. There's never going to be any change. So the storms will be dissipated. But we know that that's not true. Mordecai was the, I believe, the cousin of Esther, an older cousin, obviously, who raised her as his own child. She was like a daughter to him. He counseled her to be courageous, to be bold. He said, "Do not think because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape." So he was reasoning with her. Do you think that because you're passive about this issue, silent, that you are going to escape the peril? And I think she began to think about that. No, probably not. So it's, why not just do the right thing? Why not be courageous and do what I know God wants me to do? And so there was a passivity to forsake. I trust that we all can kind of resonate with that. Because, you know, there are people who say, oh, you know, don't rock the boat. Don't change things. Don't change yourself. I mean, we like you the way you are. Imperfections and all. Yeah, generally, you know, those kind of people, we may think they're our friends, but they may not be our friends. Let's be encouraged to be all that God wants us to be. I think that's really the lesson of Esther. Here's this person from very humble means, kind of an unknown, she wasn't unknown, who was suddenly thrust upon the world stage to do something great for God's people and for God, for the name of God. And to this day, you know that the Jews celebrate the deliverance that came because of Esther's courage. A great lesson for us to be courageous in our faith. She had a purpose to fulfill. And in that purpose, there was a position. There were circumstances that brought her to the time and place where God could use her. Now, could God have used her in other places? Well, perhaps. But this was the place that God had thrust her. And really, apart from her own ambitions, it would seem, she found herself in this very high, influential position. Now, you might think, I've never been in that position, so I really wouldn't know what that's like, and I probably never will be in that position. Well, that's probably true. But think of the influence that your life is for those around you, for good or for not good. So there's a lesson here, I trust, for all of us about having a purpose to fulfill. The circumstances that brought you to this place and time are providential, just as they were to Esther. And I would suggest that there's a lesson of punctuality. Mordecai said to Esther, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So there's something about the time in which God wants to use us. That's very important. God isn't bound by time, of course. But the Bible says that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. That just means that we need to realize that time can be an enemy. And it can fly away before we realize it. We can be at the end of our lives before we know it. I'm not there yet, I hope. But when I think of when I was just a teenager, could hardly wait until I got to be 20. And then time moved a little faster all along. Here I am in my sixth decade, 64 if you want to know exactly. I believe that's correct, isn't it, Marlene? Is it 64 now? I think so. Oh, we had another birthday boy over here this week, Tito. 49, Tito? Do you feel any older? Oh, yeah. I thought so. Especially after last night, I saw you standing on the sidelines. I guess you've become the coach now, kind of the elder statesman of the basketball team. Possibilities. It ought to help us to think, lead us to think of how God can use us. I think this was part of the, contained in that advice that Mordecai gave to Esther. Who knows whether you have come to royal position for such a time as this? And I think Esther went away and thought about that. And she came to the conclusion that indeed she had come to the position because God had put her there at that very moment. And if she were to hesitate, if she were to stall and say, well, I'm just going to wait until I have a better revelation, I guess, what would happen? A great tragedy, no doubt. And she would not have been any better off. She would have had to suffer along with God's people, even though she didn't do the right thing. So do you see some lessons here, I trust, that I believe God has put in His Word for us about volunteering? There's a passivity to forsake. There's a purpose to fulfill. But there's also here in Esther a pattern to follow. And in that pattern, we're looking at Esther's life, what we can learn from her life. There's certainly a practice. She wasn't passive, but she began to act. She began to formulate in her mind how she was going to do this. I think because God led her to do this. To go to the king with the request, because an enemy named Haman had determined that he was going to destroy the Jews. He was like Adolf Hitler, born 2,000 years or more before Hitler was even born. But he was an enemy who wanted to wipe out the people of God. And so she determined in her heart that she was going to go to the king with the request to deliver the people, her people, the Jewish people. There was a practice, decision and dedication to the right course. Going forward with God in spite of dangers, launching out into the deep, if you will, is what we see here in Esther. And there's a prayer. Esther called the people to fast. I know it doesn't say pray, but it's what they did, the Jewish people, when they fasted. They prayed, asking for God's deliverance. And it's a great example for us because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. It also tells us that we are to pray for all of those in authority. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And then in 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2, it says that we are to pray for all that are in authority. So we see really both sides here. Praying for Esther on the part of God's people. We are to pray for our leaders. We're to pray for our representatives, our leaders in government. We are to pray for our spiritual leaders, certainly our leaders in the church, in the family. We are to pray that God would give them courage and give them wisdom to lead as God intended them to lead. So here is a great lesson on prayer as well. And then the proof. All you have to do is read the rest of the book of Esther to know what a wonderful deliverance God gave as a result of Esther's courage, of her volunteering, saying, I'm willing, God, to do what you want me to do. I'm willing to be courageous, even if it means that I must die. I'm willing to do the right thing, what you're calling me to do.